Hello, and welcome to episode 20 of The Heritage Connection, brought to you by the folks here at the Tower Heritage Center, home of the Washington County Historical Society in Washington County, Wisconsin. Our mission is to forge meaningful connections across generations to Washington County's hardworking legacy, and this podcast is one more way we're trying to make those connections. I'm your host, Bella Bussey, and I'm joined by my co-host, Justin Agar-Pratt. Justin, how's your week been?
It's been good, thanks. Yeah, hard to believe that December's here.
I know, right? And we're feeling the cold of December too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
It's been all right.
Yeah.
I'm happy to get back into the swing of things. We're recording this right after our Thanksgiving break, so.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kind of have a love-hate relationship with short weeks. I like the break, but I miss the productivity and structure. You know, I have noticed whenever you ask me how my week's going, I always resort to talking about the weather. So I figured why not embrace that quirk of mine and do an entire episode on the weather in Washington County, because as it turns out, there is a lot of history behind bad weather in our area.
Yeah, today Bella and I will be telling the stories of some of the worst natural disasters and storms to roll through our neighboring towns and cities, from violent windstorms to heat waves to record-breaking winter weather.
Justin, do you have a least favorite season?
Yes, a specific part. Basically, winter after Christmas. Like, so most of January, yeah. I guess. Until we get right up until February, because then we get to like February 1st or 2nd, and then we start to get closer to like the tipping point of spring, mm-hmm. right? So I guess, yeah, January, like that specific part of winter.
Definitely.
Yeah. What about you?
I would say probably around that time, but also the beginning of spring right after it, because it just all feels like winter. Doesn't even feel like we get a spring anymore.
It's kind of a gross time.
It is.
Like, you get happy and excited about the warmer weather, but then there's like the mess of the melting snow, and it kind of smells outside too.
It does. Yeah. It does. Well, I'm sure many people would agree with us, particularly if you're from the state, because the winter, as I said, just seems to last so long. But if you ask people in this county what the worst natural disaster was to happen to this area, they will tell you it was the ice storm of 1976. In March of that year, blizzard conditions and freezing precipitation caused all environmental services to be coated in a thick layer of ice, creating a true winter wonderland with underlying catastrophe.
The heavy ice weighed down tree limbs, causing them to snap and take out buildings, homes, and power lines. One of two major voltage lines at the time came crashing down, causing over 17,000 homes to lose power. Half of the city of West Bend lost power for almost a week. This meant residents were left without heat, and the weather was not merciful to their condition. The temperature that week was apparently between the teens and low 20s throughout the power outage.
Additionally, with the power outage, people who had wells had no running water and would go to a neighbor or a neighboring farm that had a generator and was able to pump fresh water. The paper was printing articles on how to handle refrigerators and freezers during the outage. They advised residents to limit how much they open their freezer and refrigerator doors and suggested they cover the appliances with blankets to trap the cold air in and keep food from spoiling.
On the 11th day, many residents of West Bend still had no power. Schools and businesses were forced to be closed for over a week, so people were spending a lot of time at home. The papers from those days reported perhaps people were spending, quote, maybe too much time, end quote, stuck at home with their families. People piled their beds with blankets and quilts and went to bed early to escape the chill. Meals were warmed on camp stoves and fireplaces. Emergency food and shelter centers were placed in local parking lots and schools, and dry ice was dispensed to the public to keep refrigerators cold. I just want to interject here and talk about how weird it is to talk about the fact that it was so cold, and yet there was, like, it's also still a struggle when you don't have power to keep things cold that need to be cold.
Exactly. Right? And you can't stick them outside, like things that can't be frozen, because they'll freeze.
So. Yeah.
I know. Crazy.
Uh-huh.
Rural roads were also marked impassable by cars and even pedestrians. A newspaper was printed every day that week, but the children who delivered the paper were told they didn't have to work. Families would help deliver them if they were willing and able. Countless images circulated of trees that were bent over or simply snapped off at the top from the weight of the ice. The ice coating the trees was such a concern. Newspapers warned people, quote, pedestrians and motorists should consider the hazard of falling trees and limbs as the ice storm continues, end quote. The paper also described the sound of snapping and falling tree limbs like, quote, a glass chandelier crashing onto a hardware floor, end quote. That's a sound you don't forget.
Police officers drove the streets through the night in case residents needed assistance. They carried wooden broomsticks in their cars to push any downed electric lines from city streets. Children in West Bend ice skated on city streets and enjoyed the spectacle of the icy world around them. A local innkeeper that provided shelter for those without heat or power recounted the amiable feelings that came after the storm. Quote, it's heartening to see how friendly and helpful people can be. This is the kind of hardship where there's no personal suffering. It brings out the best in people, end quote.
Emergency status was finally lifted 4 days later in most of Washington County's cities and towns. Citizens attempted to go about life as normal, knowing it wouldn't be the last time Wisconsin winter weather would disrupt their lives. The city of West Bend even implemented a replanting program to replace some of the trees that were lost due to ice damage.
I assume you've seen photos of this storm, aftermath, mm-hmm. anyways. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's amazing, but... And we have tons of photos in our collection. Mm-hmm. I did a tower talk on winter, just like reminiscing about winter's past last January, and focused a lot on this ice storm. And there were like way more photos. I mean, I had a lot of photos in there, and I was still editing a bunch out because, I mean, there's just so many.
Yeah. It is incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom, she remembers the ice storm of 76. She was a little kid at the time. Mm-hmm. And she grew up on Big Cedar Lake, so they were pretty far out. They lost power.
Yeah.
And she remembers because she had chicken pox at the time.
Oh, man.
And so they went to their grandparents' house, which they used to live over by McLean Elementary, which was kind of a long way to go when the roads were so bad. But they made it out there, and they all slept in sleeping bags in the living room in front of the fireplace because they didn't have power either, but they had a fireplace.
Sure. Yeah. So. Well, and it's nice to be with family when things like that happen.
That's true.
Yeah. And you know, kind of feeling cut off from the rest of the world would be, I don't know. A lot of this, as we were reading it, I mean, it you know, obviously the closest thing that time-wise that we have to compare it to is like the early days of the pandemic, mm-hmm. right?
Totally.
Which was not weather-related, but, you know, people... Like that one point that talked about people spending a little too much time with their families, you know?
I was thinking the same thing. Funny how history kind of has its patterns.
Yeah.
Now, nearly one decade after the ice storm of 1976, another bout of frozen precipitation hit Washington County. Fortunately, this one wasn't as bad as the one that struck in March of 76, but the West Bend News on February 5th, 1986, read, quote, looking a lot like it did almost 10 years ago. Some area trees are still showing the effects of the ice storm that hit the area a year ago this week. From above, the city had an icy look as the ice covered everything in sight. City crews had their hands full clearing away icy branches from sidewalks and yards after limbs broke off from the weight. While the ice-coated terrain was beautiful to look at, thousands of residents were without power, some for long periods of time. The Wisconsin Electric Power Company fought a losing battle through Tuesday night to restore power to those who lost it, only to have more power outages. Area fire departments answered numerous calls of sparking wires dangling from frozen power lines, end quote.
Included in that article was a photo of a special someone we know very well. It was captioned, quote, the doughboy on the memorial at the old courthouse covered in ice seemingly shakes his fist at Mother Nature for another attempt at shutting down the area, end quote. 3,000 homes lost power during this storm. Only a few electrical poles were down in comparison to the thousands that went down in 76.
Just can't escape that doughboy.
Yeah. And if you didn't listen, in the last episode that we released, we talked about the artist behind the doughboy. Mm-hmm. So be sure to go back and listen to episode 19.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully he doesn't get too cold out there.
I know.
Feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Continuing with the winter weather theme, there were a handful of snowstorms between 1920 and 1925 that closed county roads for weeks. There must be dozens of bad snowstorms recorded in our history, but the storm of 1881 has got to be one of the worst on record. a blizzard dumped 2 to 4 feet of snow, and high winds caused drifts up to 20 feet high. Now, imagine having to get married in a snowstorm, particularly at that time where we don't have the heavy snow removal machinery that we have today. We have here a reported story about a wedding that was scheduled to happen during that storm in 1881. Jenny Nefsted wrote into the editor about her parents' wedding night, and her story was published in an early edition of the Daily News. She said her father had to travel from Cedar Creek into Jackson to get to her mother's home in Newcastle, where his travels were stunted when every man entering the train station was handed a shovel to clear the railroad. It took him 3 days to get to his bride-to-be in Newcastle, but they both eventually reached Fond du Lac to be married.
On the honeymoon trip back to Cedar Creek, which was the groom's residence, they met more delays. The bride's trunk of clothing needed to be pulled on a sled made of barrel staves. They could only move 3 feet at a time, as the sun had caused the snow to form a thick crust on its surface that could not withstand the weight of the horses and coaches. The horses were exhausted, trudging inch by inch in the snow. The coaches were also frigid, only being warmed by a small wood-burning stove in the front. When the couple reached home, they could only see the upper windows of the farmhouse and had to shovel out the lower windows to let light in. They also shoveled a tunnel to the barn, which was 300 feet from the house, so that the livestock could come to eat and drink. It wasn't until May that fallen trees and limbs were removed from major roads and travel resumed as normal.
What a way to spend your honeymoon, huh?
No kidding. Now, you mentioned Newcastle, and for our listeners, it's spelled, well, new, N-E-W, and then castle, C-A-S-S-E-L. Whereabouts is that? Do you know?
I think it's just south of Fond du Lac.
Oh, okay. Got it. All right. Well, and to clarify for our listeners, he wasn't going to Newcastle in England. You know, this is definitely like a romantic view of snowstorms, but I mean, you read about these snowstorms and ice storms where people are, you know, shut in for 3 or 4 or 5 days, and it just sounds like, oh, I could use 3 or 4 or 5 days to right. shut in my home. Like, but obviously when you're going through it, it's not great, but
right.
I don't know. Do you have that view?
I do. And I feel like we have that luxury now, but for right. people back then when they were shoveling to their barn, just equaled more work for them.
Yeah. Time probably, I mean, like the view of nostalgia, right?
Yes.
Like anything, people look back, I don't know, 100+ years ago, and they're like, oh, the good old days, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I love a good snowstorm.
Yeah. I love, snowy nights, like sitting inside having, you know, coffee or something else. And, but you know, I've got the luxury of being able to sit inside. I'm not out plowing snow or trying to restore power or living out in the elements.
Right.
So yeah,
for sure. Now, another notable snowstorm happened in January of 1978 when 70-mile-per-hour winds caused drifts up to 10 feet high on the interstate. There was so much snow that month, multiple deaths among older people were reported in the paper due to shoveling snow. Heart disease and high blood pressure were reported, but still, that's crazy to me. Mm-hmm. During the storm, snowmobiles were authorized to ride the highways to get from place to place more safely than in a car.
During the storm, people were abandoning their cars on their commutes, so the plows were having a hard time getting through city streets. It took 3 plows to get an ambulance from Kewaskum to St. Joseph's Hospital in West Bend, which was closer to McLean Elementary School at the time. People in their cars would sit until they ran out of gas, and some residents or local inns and hotels would take in people who were stranded and couldn't get home. Imagine the long line it probably took to reach the phone in an inn full of people, just to call home and tell your family you got stuck in a snowbank and wouldn't be coming home.
April showers bringing May flowers has a different ring to it in the state of Wisconsin. Washington County also had its fair share of April snowstorms, the most recent being in 2018. That storm was preceded by the snowstorms of April in 1921, 1973, and 1910, just to name a few. In all cases, in classic Wisconsin fashion, the weather warmed up immediately after the storm, and there was zero trace of the storm 4 days later. It's funny to me how ingrained snow and snow removal are in our culture as Wisconsinites. And I guess I didn't even really think about it that way until I was just at the Christmas parade and saw we had this huge line of snow removal equipment. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, yep, that makes sense.
And we kind of take it for granted because, you know, there are certain parts of the country where, like, they just don't have that equipment because they would use it, you know, once a year or once every few years or something. And yeah.
Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be moving out of winter weather and onto some different kinds of storms. Welcome back. When we left, we were discussing some nasty winter weather that hit the county. Moving on from ice and snow catastrophes, apparently Wisconsin has some weird storms in spring as well. In May of 1998, Washington County suffered hours of 66 mile per hour winds. The windstorm hit so quickly, trees suddenly and spontaneously came crashing down. At least one person in Kewaskum died after a tree came straight down into their bedroom at night. The emergency storm siren never went off due to immediate power outages in Germantown. The Daily News talked to Ken Rizzo, a National Weather Service meteorologist at the time, and he said, quote, "A wet microburst was the culprit. It forms when an extreme upper jet stream is coupled with dry air being drawn into the storms. The evaporation causes cooling, and the thunderstorm creates a microburst of strong winds that almost pulsates," end quote.
The wet microburst cost the county an estimated $36 to $45 million. The West Bend Municipal Airport damage alone cost $2 million. Similar to the ice storms we discussed earlier, people lost power for 4 days. It wasn't just West Bend that was hit hard. Homes and businesses all over the county suffered damages. Businesses in Trenton, Erin, Germantown, and Richfield struggled to clean up the mess, survey their inventories, and get back to normal. The town of Erin issued a declaration of disaster due to the inability to drive on local roads and the lack of electricity and running water.
A Daily News article read, quote, "Steve Voigt was leaning on a rake, his foot resting on the twisted remains of a once stately oak, a bemused look on his face as he surveyed the devastation wrought on his home and neighborhood by the Sunday morning windstorm. He said, it looks like a firefighter made a surgical bombing run on our block." The Voigt home was severely damaged when a large tree on the property came crashing through the roof just 3 unfortunate weeks after the family moved into the house.
The fallen tree and limb cleanup proved to be taxing on victims of the storm. West Bend forestry crews worked day and night to rescue homes and buildings from their tumbled tree trunk demise. One photo depicts the crew spending hours cleaning up a fallen American elm tree next to the old City Hall building at South 6th Avenue in Hickory. The elm was 4.5 feet at its base. Chances are the tree was older than the building, which was built in 1900. The storm caused some major generator and chainsaw shortages in the county due to the aftermath of the damage. Quote, "We've had a run on generators, chainsaws, brush chippers, and even some of the lawn cleanup equipment," end quote, said the owner of equipment rental in Trenton at the time.
I guess if there's anything at all that these disasters have in common, it's the kindness and compassion that people showed toward one another in hard times. The Daily News recorded a few headlines about the sweet gestures. One reads, quote, "Neighbors helping each other throughout the city." Another, "Damage bad, but helping hands extended." And another, "I've gotten help from people I don't even know." Other major windstorms in the county happened in 1923 and 1931.
Do you remember this storm in May of 98?
And I was born in 99, so I wasn't even born yet.
Oh gosh. Okay. All right. Well, I was 10 years old, and I think it was Mother's Day.
Really?
Is that right? Did you read that anywhere?
I didn't read that anywhere, but...
Maybe it wasn't. I remember that storm. I didn't live here in Washington County, but I remember like having to go down to the basement. And we didn't have to do that too many times as a kid, and usually it was like... nothing actually really happened. And fortunately, like, our house was fine, but there was some damage down by us. And, yeah.
It's crazy how windstorms like that, they just hit a certain section. Like, they never hit, like, a lot of cities or a lot of spaces. It's like they come through, like, a tornado, and your neighbor could be totally fine when you could have, you know, trees down everywhere.
Yeah.
We've saved the hottest seasons for last. Coming up, we have the Dust Bowl of 1936, which brought on some of the hottest summers on record across the upper Midwest. All-time record highs in the county shot straight into the hundreds and lasted for several days. The string of hot, dry days was also deadly. Nationally, around 5,000 deaths were associated with the heat wave.
In Wisconsin, there were 14 consecutive days. That was July 5th through the 18th, where the high temperature was 90 degrees or greater, and 9 days that were at or above 100 degrees. 6 record July temperatures that were set during this time still stand, including the hottest day on record with 108 degrees Fahrenheit on the 14th. The average high temperature in Wisconsin during this stretch of extreme heat was 101 degrees Fahrenheit, and the mean temperature for the month finished at 79.5 degrees Fahrenheit, the second highest on record.
Several things led to the deadly heat of July 1936. For starters, consistent droughts parched the soil and killed a lot of the vegetation. Without vegetation and soil moisture, the farm fields became barren and acted as furnaces, sucking in heat and taking on desert-like qualities. High pressure caused the intense heat to funnel north, continuing a relentless, vicious sauna cycle in our own backyard.
Though devastating and uncomfortable, the Dust Bowl brought about new farming methods and techniques that resisted the impacts of intense heat and drought. People also found ways to beat the heat in leisure, including heading to the county fair to distract with socialization, carrying umbrellas to block the sun, swimming at the local pond or lagoon, like Regner Park, and taking breaks from the sweltering summer heat in beer tents or by having refreshing beverages from soda and popcorn carts.
Apparently, there are dry years, and then there are soaking wet flood years. In August of 1924, torrential rains created 5 feet of standing water at some points in the county. 1 1/3 inches of rain were dumping down on surrounding cities and towns every half hour. The rain damaged and ruined homes, washed out streets and bridges, and flooded many businesses in West Bend.
We have a photo here in front of us of Consumers Milk and Ice Cream Company on North Main Street at the time. And in the picture, the sloping of the land behind their store caused the Milwaukee River to flow into the back door, through the store, and out the front door onto the street. It took several days for stores and homes and yards to dry out from this devastating downpour.
We don't live in Tornado Alley or anything like that, but our weather can just shift so drastically.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I don't really have a romantic view of heat waves and flooding like I do snowstorms.
Yeah, me either. Definitely not.
Yeah, I would just prefer to avoid them.
Any final thoughts on weather before we move into this week in Washington County history?
No, I think this was good. I like how you took this little like joke that you make of yourself about, you know, always, and everyone does it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the weather is one of those things that everyone talks about.
Mm-hmm. And can relate to.
Right, exactly. I like how you turned it into an episode and you tied it into Washington County history. I think that was great.
Thanks. It was a fun one for me.
Good.
So moving on to this past week in Washington County history, which is what it will be once this episode airs. 126 years ago, on December 1st in 1897, the historic 1886 jailhouse that is now part of the Tower Heritage Center as a museum almost burned to the ground. An article from the West Bend Democrat in 1897 reads, "A horrible catastrophe was narrowly averted by the presence of mind of Sheriff Wettig and his brother Henry last Monday night. A part of the new steam heating apparatus in the county jail sprang a leak and the steam forced water out of the boiler. Mislaid, about 2 o'clock Tuesday morning," which must have been the sheriff's wife, "heard that something was wrong and woke her brother-in-law and the sheriff. They found that the water was nearly all out of the boiler, and they had turned on cold water and pulled the fire out from under the boiler just in time. Had this not been done, the boiler would have certainly exploded and wrecked the jail and probably killed some people."
Wow, that's crazy.
I know.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah. And as I said before, the jailhouse is now used as a museum, and mm-hmm. members of the community can book tours to see the original jail cells, which they also have some original graffiti on them. And
yeah.
which is really cool. They can hear stories about jailbreaks and some of the sheriff's families that lived in the jailhouse, and even learn about some of its architectural history, which I think is really fascinating. Mm-hmm. But in earlier times, it was common for the sheriff's families to stay in the home attached to the actual jail cells, and it was usually the wife's unpaid job to caretake for the inmates. And our 1886 jailhouse is one of very few of these original structures to exist today. So thank goodness it didn't blow up 126 right? years ago.
Wow. Yeah, well, and going back to the sheriff's wife, cooking, cleaning, laundry, also sitting at the radio to take in dispatch calls if the sheriff and all of the deputies and everyone else were out on call.
Really?
So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The dining room was the radio room.
Okay.
We've got a picture of a... We don't know who it is or when it was taken, probably sometime in the 1950s, but there's a guy sitting in the corner there at a radio. Mm-hmm. And actually last December, Steve, our director, did a presentation about the restoration of the jail. And there was a gentleman there who, he was 92, 93, who worked for the sheriff's department when that building was an active jailhouse, and remembered going down to work his shift and
sit
at the radio. And yeah.
That's really cool.
Wow. That's a great story. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a fire there like in the 1920s.
Yeah.
But it was put out pretty quickly, I think. Mm-hmm.
Well, so. It's still standing. So.
Right. Yeah, thankfully.
So, Justin, do you have any weekend plans?
Yeah. We're going to see Wish, the new Disney film.
Oh, the new Disney movie?
Yeah. So I'm excited for that. I think I'm going to try and catch the Beyoncé Renaissance concert film as well.
Mm-hmm.
So not on the same day. But it's a movie weekend for me. What about you?
I'm going to a Badger hockey game on Friday night.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah.
I've only been to one hockey game, and it was a Badger game.
Yeah.
And they're great.
They are really good. And out of my 4 years there, I never went to a game, and they're a really good team. So.
And you've been, I assume, to Badger hockey games then since then? Or is this
going
to be your first one?
No, this is going to be
my
first one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're in for a treat. I'm not even really a big hockey fan. It was like I had some friends that were going and went along and... Yeah, there's like all sorts of things that they do in between the periods. And yeah, I think you'll have fun.
Well, fun. Awesome. I'm really excited. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Heritage Connection, brought to you by the Tower Heritage Center, home of the Washington County Historical Society, whose mission is to forge meaningful connections across generations to Washington County's hardworking legacy. See you next time.